Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, providing exterior solutions for homes with faded, cracked, or outdated siding. Details at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Chris Dunn has spent more than 30 years in prison for murder. His case is remarkable for several reasons. For one, the two witnesses who identified him as a killer in 1990 both recanted later. That's key because their testimony led directly to Dunn's conviction, which has never been tied to physical evidence. In fact, a Missouri judge said that, given the same case, without those witness IDs, no jury then would convict Dunn. Another reason Chris Dunn's case stands out is that two St. Louis prosecutors have agreed Chris Dunn is innocent. First was Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. In May 2023, she announced she'd seek to vacate Dunn's conviction. But just days after that, Gardner resigned from her position and threw Dunn's case into doubt as Gabe Gore took up leadership of a circuit attorney's office in disarray. 10 months passed. Then, on February 7th, Gore announced what his own review of the case found, that he believed Chris Dunn was innocent and that he worked to free Dunn by vacating the murder conviction of 1991. Chris Dunn spoke with St. Louis on the Air producer Danny Wisentowski from the South Central Correctional Center in Licking, Missouri, just days after Gore's announcement. Danny began by asking Chris Dunn to describe what it was like to get news for the second time that a St. Louis prosecutor agreed he was innocent.
I can remember coming in from the yard, and we had just ended programs. And I called Kira, and as I was talking to my wife about 5 minutes, she got a phone call. And the phone call, she asked me to hold on for a second. And apparently, it was a reporter who contacted her. And during that course of that, she clicked back over and started crying. And I wasn't sure why. And I asked her what's wrong. And she stated that she just got the news that they just vacated or moved to vacate the sentence. So I was kind of taken aback about it. So I asked her, who moved to vacate it? And she stated that the Circuit Attorney of the City of St. Louis, Gabe Gore, he moved to vacate my conviction. And I was like, wow. It was hard for me to express myself because, to be honest with you, I've been down this road before. And I wasn't sure what to expect. And after Judge Hickel made his determination, and still I sat in prison 5 years after that. And then after Kim Gordon made her determination that I was innocent, and still I sat in prison after that. And now this new circuit attorney for the City of St. Louis made the same exact judgment, but with a little bit more from my understanding.
Let me ask you about that point you brought up. This is the third time you've gotten this kind of news. Are you feeling maybe more protective of your feelings or your expectations?
I have to be protective of my feelings, because if I choose not to, then I will be denying myself. Or better yet, it's like trying to visualize hope being introduced to justice. If the two ever met, what would they say to each other if they saw me? I never saw justice before. I never seen hope. So I wouldn't know what the two looked like if they were staring at me dead in my face. And to sit in prison after hearing it for the third time, to vacate, is a relief, sure. But I still have to live in prison with the uncertainty that I may possibly die in prison, because we just got over one of the largest hurdles, but we haven't reached the finish line yet.
You know, Chris, it strikes me that the experience of people who are in your position, a lot of times, you know, you're not in control of the timing of things. So much about the justice system is out of your hands. For someone who has had to deal with a justice system that takes so many tools away from you, to have what happened with Gardner and then to have that taken away for another set of just, you know, a chaotic series of events that you didn't control, what does that feel like? How do you maintain some strength after that kind of reversal?
Wow. I grew up in the inner city of St. Louis, in a Wells Goodfellow neighborhood. But I also grew up in a house, a home, with both my parents and three sisters. But I grew up with an extended family. My whole community was my family. I have seen more hurt. I have felt more hurt and seen more drama than an average child. So not to say that I was conditioned to endure. What happened to Kim Gardner was very unfortunate. And it was something, like you said, I had no control over. All I could do, sir, is at that time is focus on what I could control. And that was my emotions. I knew from all the disappointments in the past, from childhood till now, I could not rely on the system to do the right thing at that moment, especially when so much was going on. Every day that I wake up, above this ground, there's a day that I have to say that I'm blessed. There's another day that I have to continue to fight to get home to those that I love and that those who have stood and fought with me. Those who still believe that I am completely innocent. I can wake up and be bitter if I wanted to, but what would it get me? What would it get me? Probably the ass egg, probably the hole. It would not get me back out of society because my better judgment would be clouded. So I have to focus on what is the greater picture now. And that's to visualize myself with my family.
You know, you said earlier that the truth and justice are like two people you haven't met. And it strikes me that Kira has been both of those people in a lot of ways to you and to this effort. Is that fair to say? You know, is she and other people taking up that truth and justice that you've not gotten out of the system?
Kira, my wife has to be probably one of the most strongest people I have ever met in my life. And I often tell her that she's the wind beneath my wings that lifts me higher. She's the strength that helps lift me up when I've fallen. We often, however, go back and forward. We don't agree on everything. She may have a better faith in the system or a better belief in the system than I do. But as long and until I am free, I cannot sit here and honestly tell you that I can have trust in the system. Not until I am free. I'm just one of probably hundreds or even thousands of inmates who have been convicted of crimes that we did not commit. But I am just a one case, one in which the truth has finally come out by those whom it was originally told the lie. So it's only right now that I be awarded my due justice.
I know this might be a sensitive area to ask about the witnesses who had led to your first conviction. Is there anything that you can tell us of how you feel about what they've gone through and the fact that they have recanted?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine being 12 years old and being shot at and then turning around and have to be told by a friend to lie? But then a year later, being told or influenced to lie by the police or the victim's mother. Then stating that you didn't want to testify because you wasn't sure originally, but you would continue to be coerced. That was a child, a kid. I remember what I was like when I was 12 years old. I remember the life that I had, the innocence that I lived, but also what I've endured. I learned to accept the fact that both witnesses, the 12-year-old as well as the 14-year-old who accused me of this crime, I understand that they made a mistake. They were young. We all make mistakes. Sure, it took them 15 years to come back and admit to the first mistake. Then it took an additional 10 years to locate the other witness over 2,000 miles away with the assistance of 3 different attorneys and 4 different investigators. It hurted to hear them say that I was guilty of a crime that I didn't do or that I committed a crime that I didn't do. But it kind of soothed my soul to hear them say why they lied. Because that's all I ever really wanted to know. Why would they lie on someone like me, out of anyone in the neighborhood, especially someone like me? And I understand, and I forgive them. I forgive them both, because they was children. They was kids who made a mistake, but a mistake that they chose to right now. And we got to give them that. We can't hold it against them. We all have to learn to let go and move forward. The past is only going to hold us back. It's good to learn from it. But to hold on to any ill feelings or negativity towards them is only stagnating my own growth or any progress that I wish to make in life. So I forgive them.
That was Chris Dunn. He spoke with our producer, Danny Wisentowski, last month by phone from the South Central Correctional Center in Licking, Missouri. Coming up, we'll continue our discussion of Chris Dunn's case for innocence and how the latest news felt for his closest supporter, his wife.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at jemastl.com.
Welcome back. To talk about the developments in this case, I'm joined now by Chris Dunn's wife, Kira, who has spent decades advocating for her husband's innocence. Kira, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Happy to be back.
Also here is Rachel Wester, managing attorney at the Midwest Innocence Project. Rachel, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm happy to be here.
So, Kira, what was it like to get the news that Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore would move forward with this process to vacate your husband's conviction?
Oh, it was overwhelming. As you know, Elaine, we've had a few ups and downs. We've had a few disappointments along the way. So even that, we knew that, and we knew that it might not be a great idea to get too excited. It was impossible not to get really excited, and I was just in tears. I was so thankful, and I was still so thankful.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it a bit of deja vu? I mean, you got similar news from former St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner in May 2023, only for that hope to be taken away with her resignation just a few days later. I mean, what was different this time, and were you feeling a little bit Like you shouldn't maybe feel as excited as you were?
Exactly. I was quite hesitant, and so was Chris, about getting too enthused. But it still had me in tears of relief at the time when I first got the news.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rachel, on February 7th, St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore filed a motion to vacate Chris Dunn's conviction. What was it that stood out to you about the motion?
It's a really strong and well-written motion, and I think it effectively lays out what happened in Chris's case. As you mentioned, Elaine, the only evidence against Chris at trial was the testimony of two eyewitnesses who were 12 and 14 years old at the time. And the motion really talks about why those identifications were unreliable, and the fact that both of those eyewitnesses have since recanted that testimony. And I think the motion also points out what makes Chris's case different in the current point in time, which is that there's already been a ruling from a prior court where a judge has found that there is evidence that Chris is innocent, and that if a jury looked at all the evidence today, they would likely not convict Chris. And I think that's a really important thing to highlight, and the motion does that very well.
Mm-hmm. And you had said that the motion that was filed by Gabe Gore, that it is particularly strong. I mean, former Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, she filed a motion as well. Was the inclusion of some details in Gore's motion, different from what was in Gardner's?
I think Gardner's motion was strong as well. I do think one additional detail that Gore's motion points out and discusses is about those eyewitness identifications. And in particular, they talk about an eyewitness identification expert who submitted a report in this case. And the expert was able to look at the identifications that the witnesses made and talk in very specific detail about why those identifications wouldn't have been reliable for a couple of reasons, both things that happened at the crime scene itself. It was very dark. They wouldn't have gotten a good look at the shooter. There was, a weapon pointed at them, shots going off. They wouldn't have been focused on the face of the shooter. And also things that happened after the crime in the process of their conversations with police that might have made those identifications happen and come about in a coercive environment. And I think the inclusion of discussing the expert witness and what she can opine on is an additional strength of this motion.
Mm-hmm. But could it have been the case that that Gore could have used Gardner's motion to vacate? I mean, would that have been sufficient even with this extra bolstering that you're describing in Gore's motion?
Well, I think we understand that when Mr. Gore came into office, he really wanted to take an independent look at this case and do some independent investigation and make sure that he and the special prosecutors he appointed felt comfortable filing a motion to vacate Chris's conviction. We understand that completely. And we were confident because we knew the strength of Chris's case and, the prior ruling again that talked about Chris's innocence. We were confident that Mr. Gore and his team would come to the same conclusion, and we're really happy that's the result we've gotten.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kira, when we talked with Chris, he had mentioned, how difficult it can be to see truth and justice in our criminal justice system. Are there places in that system where you do see hope, or, where you see truth or justice, in some small way, shape, or form?
Absolutely. I see it in the support and advocacy we are receiving from the Midwest Innocence Project, our attorney Justin Bonus, and others who have supported our drive toward, getting innocence recognized in Missouri. Those people and those efforts give us hope. And we were feeling like our hope was faltering a bit in the system overall before this, but Chris did tell me that he's starting to see the light a bit, see that there can be change in Missouri, that there is hope for us to evolve as a state. And that was part of what this new motion gave us, is just a sense of hope, not just for our case, but for the future of Missouri and its justice system.
Mm-hmm. Now, the way that you and Chris came together is one I think that's worth noting here. And you met in 1999 when you were writing about Chris's case for a criminal justice reform website, and then this became a very personal story for you. Kira, what was it that connected you and Chris at the time, and how is it showing up now?
Oh, well, it was a slow process of becoming deeper to the depth that it is now. But what connected us originally was my review of the documentation and what that revealed to me, and the follow-up questions I had, and the fact that he was so frank and, you know, had nothing to hide. He will tell you that again and again. He has nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. And he followed up with documentation of each thing he mentioned, and was just ready to share and really open the books on anything and answer any question I might have. And his candidness and the fact that, you know, there was no inconsistencies in anything I saw. Mm-hmm. And then speaking with family members, etc., it all lined up to the same story. And I have to say, as our relationship has deepened over the years, I've only seen more of the same. Chris is 100% open and honest, and he'll tell you the good, bad, and ugly.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, Kira mentioned that Chris's case is not just about Chris. If you can help to put this case in context, I mean, there are similar efforts underway now to vacate the conviction of Marcellus Williams in St. Louis County. And this is the same process that freed Lamar Johnson in St. Louis last year. I mean, could Chris Dunn be on the same path?
We really hope so. We hope that Chris is on that same path. I think Chris's case in particular really highlights exactly what you're talking about, Elaine, with sort of the flaws in Missouri system. And that goes back to that 2020 decision where Texas County Circuit Judge William Hickel found that Chris is innocent, but he was unable to overturn Chris's conviction and free him at that time. Because in Missouri, innocence alone is not enough to overturn a conviction if the person has not been sentenced to death. Missouri is the only state in the nation that limits innocence claims in that way by a person's sentence. And so until the legislature changes the law, prosecutors are the answer. Prosecutors can file petitions to a court to try to free an innocent person, like this has happened in, as you mentioned, Lamar Johnson's case, Kevin Strickland's case. They were both ultimately freed and released. And there's a pending petition filed in the Marcellus Williams case and here in Chris Dunn's case. And until the legislature does something about the way in which Missouri law looks at freestanding innocence claims, I think we will potentially see more of these types of cases, or that's what we hope.
Mm-hmm. So, Rachel, what is the next step here with Chris Dunn's case?
The next step for Chris's case is hopefully an evidentiary hearing. That's what happened in both the cases of Kevin Strickland and Lamar Johnson, who were both freed after prosecutors filed motions to vacate. The statute 547.031 that lays out how these motions to vacate work calls for a hearing and actually says the court shall order a hearing after such a motion is filed. Mm-hmm. And so the next step would be that hearing is scheduled and the hearing takes place. All of the evidence is presented, the evidence that Mr. Gore and his office have laid out in the motion. And then hopefully we get the same result as in Mr. Strickland and Mr. Johnson's case, where Chris would ultimately be released. In those cases, it took around 4 to 6 months from the time the motion was filed until they were released.
Mm-hmm. So, Kira, when we spoke in the past, you talked about preparing for Chris to walk free. Is there anything that you will add to the set of clothes that you have prepared for him when hopefully you hear the news that that the conviction has been vacated?
Right. Well, it turns out there are no tailors in prison. So we've gotten conflicting measurements over the years. So I went out and bought a set of clothes for one measurements, and it turned out it wasn't right. And so we've been going back and forth a bit with that. But I've tried to think of everything, Elaine. I don't think I have much more to add. He keeps telling me to stop. That's enough. Mm-hmm. But yes, and I think Rachel and I need to collaborate on that as well, how it'll all work with clothing and such in court. But yes, we're very much ready, and I would say our hope is at an all-time high right now.
Mm-hmm. Kira Dunn is married to Chris Dunn. She spent years advocating for her husband's innocence and freedom. And Rachel Wester is the managing attorney for the Midwest Innocence Project. Rachel and Kira, thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laura Hamden, and my colleague Jessica Rogan and I are your daily hosts of the Gateway Newsletter. We meet with the editors in the STLPR newsroom every weekday to bring you the top local stories of the day in a quick and easy 6-minute read by 6 a.m. In an age of overwhelm, it's a refreshing, thoughtful take on the news day, if we do say so ourselves. Fine-tune your daily news habit with the Gateway Newsletter. Subscribe at stlpr.org/gateway.